Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live, and it is the last day of February. Really a great day to think about what do I want to be different in my life for the rest of the month. One of the things I'm glad is not different are the people that are joining me on the program today, and that's Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Alice Benton.
Always welcome, a blessing guys. To get to be with you too.
Yeah. It's great to be with everybody today.
I want to encourage folks on this last day, if you have not supported the ministry, this would be a great time. Help us out here in the month of February. If you haven't signed up for Club New Life, $30 a month. Many, many benefits. We'll just say that right off the bat, and hope and pray that if God's been kind of bugging you to sign up and join or be part of what we do, great day to do it. Start off March 1. You're part of the New Life Giving family. Rather than talk anymore, I'm going to go right to the phones. I'm going to talk with Dennis from Albany, New York. Dennis, what's going on?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my phone call.
Sure, what's happening in your life today?
We have close friends of ours. It's actually one of my wife's best friends, that they are going through a real difficult time with their marriage. Mm-hmm. The husband has pretty much given up on the marriage. Mm-hmm. She's desperate. She wants him. And I think it's a ton of emotion. They have two girls, 8 and 12. And it's ruining the girls. The husband has no interest. Alcohol has played a factor. From the outside looking in, my question to you is, I'm not real close with this guy. We know each other well. They are believers. But I sort of feel the urgency to go talk to him. Don't know if it would ever change his mind, but feel like that's the least I could do for this woman who's hurting so bad. He has moved out, but is being, I don't know if narcissistic is the right word. He's using the children against her, mm-hmm. and doing things like telling the daughter he's going to be taking her away to Florida, and not discussing it with the wife.
Okay. So is your question really, whether or not you really should say something? People. What's that?
Yeah, whether or not I should go and try and talk with him or, uh-huh. you know, any type of advice on that.
All right. Well, we will we'll give you some quick advice on this side and then more on the other side. But here's the thing. Alcohol is never a factor in problems like this. It's the problem first. You have to deal with that. So that's, you know, if you've got a guy that's drinking enough that you would say it's a factor, then when this guy recovers or starts recovery, you've got some hope here. But no matter what you say to him, if he's drunk the next night or if he's drinking and he's out of control, then, well, that didn't really do much. So that's the first place.
He has said a couple of times that if she gave up her family, he would give up the alcohol.
Good luck with that. So anyway, I think having that awareness as you talk with him, just the fact that an alcoholic says there's some condition under which they would give up, that's pretty rare. That shows you he knows he has a problem versus denying he has a problem.
Okay.
So you'd be encouraging him to give that up no matter what she does, and to not make any big changes in his life until he sees what life is like once he's given that up. But we'll hear from two PhD, female, wise women, right after this. Give you some help. You're listening to New Life Live. Glad you are. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us or you need some help, you call 1-800-NEWLIFE.
I am just so thankful for this weekend. It's been amazing to see how Satan messes up marriages in so many ways.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography. It might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
Through Shelley's example, I have seen such transparency. It's just been amazing. I've just been able to let out all the yucky details.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey. Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, March 1st through the 3rd. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Dennis, and he's watching a man's life, family, be hurt, and wanting to know what his role could be. Sherry, Alice, any thoughts here for our good friend Dennis, who's called us for help?
So, hey, Dennis, first off, I want to say thank you for being such a brave man and a faithful person in the body of Christ. This is what the body of Christ is supposed to look like.
Yes.
And so I was just smiling from ear to ear going, he's stepping up. And this is what we do with people that we love. So
I feel like I would want somebody to do the same thing with me.
Yeah,
well said.
Totally get it.
And so you can say that to him. Look, I'm just doing something that I would want somebody to do with me, buddy. So I hope you're not going to be offended. But I care about you, and that's why I'm about to say this.
And, you know, in that, with the alcohol, I agree with Steve. You know, going to him and saying, once you talk with him, and I wouldn't hold back. I wouldn't hold back. I would just lay it all out there for him and say, I love you. I care about you. I care about your girls. I care about your family. But I'm really concerned that the drinking and this isolation that's going on, and it's making me worry about the part of your family. You're falling apart. Your family who needs you, right? So see if you can call him up into responsibility and leadership. The other thing, and I'm going to probably go a sideways here because I can't get it out of my heart until I say it, but I'll tell you who I'm really worried about. I'm worried about those girls. Because
my gosh,
if we have an addict dad who's drinking and he's not honoring boundaries, and he's going to be taking his girls to Florida. I mean, who knows what's there right now, right? So I would also simultaneously have you and your wife sit down with his wife, because she may struggle with boundaries. She's already allowed the drinking to happen for a long time, and she may feel very disempowered right now. But she needs to get into, since he's already separated, I think she needs to get into a therapist, psychologist that maybe can do an evaluation with the girls, maybe even talk to an attorney right now, because I can almost see this moving to a place that she's going to have to fight for to have the girls with her more. If he's reckless in drinking, he will not be safe for those girls. They're tiny. They're minors.
Yeah.
How long have you known him?
Emotionally and spiritually right now. And I just know that has long-lasting effects.
How long have you known him?
My wife has been best friends with her for probably 25 years, and you know, I married into the family, so to speak, and so I've known him for at least 10-15 years.
So one of the things you could say is, you know, my wife's known you a long time, and the guy that she describes 25 years ago, he would never use his daughter as a pawn or, you know, that guy is there. It's inside of you. And it's the alcohol that's led you to do some of these things that are destructive. And so, man, right. I know there is this amazing man in there. And it's not, he's not going to come out and visit until you decide that man is drowning in alcohol. And I know it's hard to see it, but, buddy, when you give that up, your life is going to change in a lot of ways. It's going to get better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible
to
give to him. You give that to him. Say, look, this is going to help you, buddy. And always a great idea. Dave Stoop talks about this a lot. Say, hey, I want to help you. And then you say, there's a speaker meeting tomorrow night. I'm going to pick you up. Let's go. Let's get started on this road. All right, let's go with, how about we talk with Bethany from, well, I believe she's Kingport, Tennessee. Hi there, how you doing?
Hey, I'm okay. How are you, Steve?
Doing all right. What's going on in your life today?
I was listening to Donna on the program earlier, and, we have multiple issues compounded. I have very poor history. My father was, and still is, fairly non-present. My stepdad is very critical, very old-fashioned, and trying to wrap this up as quick as I can. My first boyfriend raped me when I was 16.
Gosh.
My second boyfriend decided that he wanted to date my sister and get to her through me, and my husband came to me. We had a foster child that accused him of some sexual misconduct with her, and he was cleared of that, but it led him to confess to me that he'd had a porn addiction. And yesterday he told me that he'd been doing it since before we got married.
Mm.
So the two issues are kind of compounding one another. And
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how I can get myself to trust him again.
Okay, well, wait a second. Is he worthy to be trusted? Just because he confessed, what's he going to do to make a difference so you can trust him?
He's a government employee, so his laptop is watched, and I know all of his passwords.
Okay, but I'm talking about working on the character there.
Uh-huh.
Because he said, I'm going to do something that will assure you that I've gotten help for this, not going to happen again, anything like that, see?
Not really.
Okay.
Until
he does that, I wouldn't be working on trust. I'd be working on motivation. Okay. See?
Okay.
But that's...
I did refer him to, your Every Man's Battle Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he would look it up.
Okay. Just follow up with him on that.
Okay.
So this is what I'm hearing, and I'm so glad you heard that call earlier and something just made you go, I got to call and ask about my own story. But you're a lot like me in this way. So I consider myself trauma squared, which means I had some painful things that happened in my early childhood. And I also had a husband who was addicted to porn and had affairs and all of that. But because my wounds of the past were still unhealed, I stayed very helpless and in denial for a number of years. And I allowed things to continue. Not because I wanted them to, but I think I was so afraid and I didn't know how to set boundaries to stop it from happening. So when I hear you say, how do I trust him again? This is what I hear in my heart of hearts. I'm hearing you say, I don't want to feel pain anymore. I want to get out of the pain as fast as I can. How can I close my eyes to what's happening, which is actually a form of denial? There's a term called betrayal blindness by Dr. Jennifer Freid. It's like we don't want to look because it hurts too much to look. And so we look away and we jump to trust. And Steve just pointed out a really great point. It's not the time to trust. It's the time to get safe. And I think partners who've been betrayed like you need two things. Two things. You've got to have safety and the truth. And you don't have either one of those right now.
Sherry, the phrase that I felt like I heard from her when she said, "How do I trust again?" Very similar to what you're saying here. I felt like she was saying, "How do I make this go away?"
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if I could just trust him, then it goes away, but it isn't.
But it doesn't go away, right? No. It doesn't go away.
So, Bethany, you're crying as Sherry touches this very tender place in your heart. What are you thinking and feeling as you're hearing this from her?
Part of me wants to trust him because I know he's never had an affair. And when the foster child had accused him, he was cleared. He did submit to a polygraph test willingly. And he came to me and he was crying and he did confess that he had a problem. And
okay, but look, here's the thing.
So part of me wants to trust him.
I know, but it's...
But I know it's me, too.
Well, but that trust is so that you won't have to feel reality. I hear you, but I want to help you get out of denial. Denial is not our friend. Denial allows sin to continue in our homes. He is struggling with porn. Porn is just a step. Do you know how many times people say, "Well, I'm just looking at porn," and porn is a gateway drug to affairs, to cyber sex, to a whole world. Right? What we see, what's in our heart, we also begin to act out on.
But Bethany, Jesus called out that behavior, and he called it adultery. That when we engage in these fantasies in our mind, we're crossing a line that he tells us not to cross. It's like adultery of the eyes, and it's been going on for years. So when you minimize your husband's behavior by saying, "Well, at least he hasn't had an affair, a physical affair," these are visual affairs that he's having. So I need you to think about two different words here to replace trust with your own healing, and protection. Because as you talk about this painful history of the deep wounds that men have left in your body and your soul and your heart, I don't think you've gotten sufficient healing for the past. And now you've got a whole new wound layered on top of it that calls into question all these years you've been married to your husband because the porn has been ongoing. You'll need to step into the very healing at the very painful healing process of looking at what you've gone through and talking through these stories with a safe person who can give you grace and who can help you step into truth.
Okay. I hope that that's helpful to you. And I want to say one more thing. Even if he hadn't confessed, if he said, "I have a real desire to never do this." Desire is, I heard Henry Cloud talk about this. I use the word, a lack of willingness. But desire or motivation does not protect us from the thing that we need protecting from. It's like saying, "I don't want to be a bad person," but you're hanging out in Las Vegas gambling more money than you have kind of thing. So what you want to do is help him turn that remorse into action that prevents him from ever falling back into this. And so you don't trust, you say, "Look, I hear how sincere you are and I feel your hurt. The only way that we're ever never going to have to deal with this from a worse perspective is for you to get some help for this. Your brain has been wired. It's not your fault it got wired, but it's your responsibility now to do everything you can." That's how you're not experiencing the pain of being traumatized again next year, okay? So you really want to be gentle and firm with him as you request that he act on his remorse and regret. Hey, really glad you called.
Hey, Steve, could we send her my book? Because I've got that chapter, Digging Into the Roots, is one of the chapters. And then there's a chapter on how he can help her heal. So can we send her Intimate Deception,
Absolutely.
Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal?
Coming your way. Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. I wish every woman who's ever been hurt could read that. We've got Restore coming up also here at New Life. It really, really could help you. All right, we're going to take a break and come right back. Hope something we're saying here helps you, or to help you help a friend. I mean, that's really what it's all about. We take our struggles, our pains, and we turn them into something of value as we humble ourselves and reach out to other people so they don't have to go through what we've gone through. All right, we'll take a break and come right back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we're right there. Same number if you want to help us become part of our giving family here, helping us close out the month of February. Oh my goodness, they come. This is a short one. They come pretty quickly. And then we'll be right back after this. You are listening to New Life Live. Really glad that you do. Go to newlife.com if you want to see what else we do. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
This is Terry McIntosh with a couple of things for you to be aware of. If you want the most up-to-date information from New Life, you can follow New Life Ministries with Steve Arterburn on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You get special offers, connection, and encouragement. And if you are on social media, you might want to get Covenant Eyes, our partner in an internet filter for your computer. But it's more than just a filter. It's also an accountability tool. It's great to use with your spouse, a friend, or an accountability partner, and provides reports for online activity on tablets, smartphones, and computers. You'll get your first 30 days free when you use the code NLM. Look for the Covenant Eyes link on the newlife.com website to get you started. Steve, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Terry McIntosh. And just want to be sure everybody knows there's help available. You just don't need to struggle by yourself. You just call us, fellow strugglers at the other end of the line, folks that have They wake up in the morning and say, I want to help somebody. I want to find somebody that really wants to make a change. When you're ready, we can help you at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we love it when you decide, I want to help somebody else get some help. That means a lot to us. All right, let's go back to the calls, and let's talk with Sharon, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
My husband died a week from tomorrow. It'll be 2 years ago. And when he was diagnosed with gastroesophageal cancer, the tumor that they found was over 13 inches long. It was massive.
Oh.
And it's been really hard for me. I try and hide it from my kids because if mom breaks down in front of them, then I get, "Mom, don't cry, it's okay." Well, it's not okay.
Yeah.
And mom's tired of being missed, you know, the solid rock, because mom's just tired of being, mom needs to cry sometimes.
Yeah, right.
And my son just turned 15 January 30th, and my daughter, I love her enough to, I let her move out when she was, oh golly, just over, I guess she was about 16 and a half. A friend of mine and her husband were moving down to a place called Palm Coast, Florida. And my daughter said to me, "Mom, I want to move down to Florida with Aunt Ray and Uncle Bob." And I went, "What? Okay, I got to think about this real hard." So I thought about it, and I looked at my daughter, and I said, "I love you enough to let you go." And she said to Aunt Ray and Uncle Bob, "Mom hates me, or she wouldn't have let me move with you." And my girlfriend looked at my child and said, "You have no idea how much your mother loves you." And
okay, so we got a lot of things that you're talking about here. What is the main thing that you want us to talk to you about and help you with?
Well, I need help healing big time.
Uh-huh. Yep.
When I went through all the stuff from my husband that was in my bedroom, I found evidence that he had had an affair.
Mm.
And
that's rough.
It broke my heart.
Sure.
We were married almost 22 years. I was not supposed to be able to have children, so both of our children were miracles.
But now we're talking about something else. So what is the main thing that we could help you with today?
Healing, really healing.
Okay.
So Sharon, to help us answer that question, because you've been through an immense amount, what have you already done to pursue your own healing?
I've done a lot of crying, and I've done a lot of praying, and
And has it mainly been in isolation, just you and God?
Has it what?
Mainly been in isolation, just you and God.
The people in the choir that I sing in have helped me a lot because they're at my church. Mm. And the church that I go to is a wonderful church. I love it dearly.
So Sharon, I'm going to step in because I think your heart needs more structured healing. These losses are too many and too great. And so it's good that the choir knows, but you'll likely need a set structured healing process because there is so much. So I'm hearing things like, you know, the family message of "don't cry, come on, it's okay, we got to be tough." It does restrict the entire family from being able to face the pain, allow the emotions to flow, and to be able to heal from it. When you said that your daughter mentioned, "I think mom hates me because she let me move," I wondered if that statement had ever been revisited, or if things tend to be kind of swept under the rug. We try to be tough, we try to move on. Is that kind of the general pattern?
I wrote her a letter that said to her, "No, mom does not hate you. Mom loves you so much you wouldn't even understand." And I sent it to her.
And did you and she ever have a conversation about the letter, a face-to-face conversation?
Well, since she's 1,000 miles away, no, it wasn't face-to-face, but it was over the phone. And she knows that I love her more than she'll ever know.
So, Sharon, did you grow up in a home where there was addiction? Did you grow up?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
My mother was a prescription drug addict.
All right.
My father was a functional alcoholic.
I knew that. You know why I knew that? Because there is so much chaos inside of you. Your heart and mind and body have been running for a very, very long time. And you have not had a safe place to rest. When Alice is talking about a structured place of healing, You're going to need somebody, somebody like me or somebody like Alice, that can spend time with you every single week and to help you sort out all the chaos that's inside of your world. So we'll be back in just a moment.
Hold on.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we've been talking here with Sharon, and a lot of different issues coming up. And Alice, what do you think really is her best path here? What does she need to do? She's got a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of struggle.
Well, Sharon, your bravery in calling and in beginning to open up with us is the right mm-hmm. step, and we follow yep. that up by letting us link you with a good therapist who mm-hmm. knows addiction, who knows loss, and who can help you walk through this, and even to help you in rebuilding the relationship with your daughter, adding on to that great move you made by writing her the letter. So stay on the line. We'll find you some good therapists in your mm-hmm. area.
We and, you sure know, will. Sometimes someone like her would really benefit from going to an adult children of alcoholic support group.
Absolutely.
Because they get where she's been. They understand the chaos, and her working this 12 steps there can really help her, in addition to counseling, to be validated and to begin to integrate what happened to her inside of her.
Great idea.
Yeah. You know, so many of these calls would be perfect to come to Finding Freedom. And, you know, we're going to do another one in May 3rd. So if you're struggling and you're hearing somebody struggle like you, maybe Finding Freedom is the weekend that would really put you on a different path. I would hope so. So many people, they just love that first one, so we're going to do it again. All right, let's go back to the calls. And how about we talk with, well, let's talk with Emma, Santa Fe, New Mexico, K-A-Z-Q. Hi, Emma, how are you today? Emma, are you there? Well, we just have to get back to Emma. Maybe she'll come back. Let's go to Matt from Lexington, Kentucky, pretty close to where I am right now. Matt, how are you? Matt, are you there? Very interesting. I think our phone system might have a little bit of a problem here. Maybe Terry can help us with that. Okay.
How about Joe?
Let's go to Purcell. How about that? Purcell, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. How are you?
I am fine. How are you?
All right.
Great. Thanks for being there. If not, we'd had to close down the whole program. So how can we help you today? What's going on?
I have a bit of a moral issue. In the process of getting a divorce because my future ex-wife was cheating, and she still kind of wants to go out and hang around with her friends, like dancing and drinking and stuff like that. But then she asked me to spend time with her and her grandchildren. They're not my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And it makes me uncomfortable. I don't want to seem like I'm being mean, but I really just don't feel comfortable being around them. And mm-hmm. just want to make sure that I'm not being disobedient to God or anything like that, because I don't know what to do.
Okay. So no hope for reconciliation, no repentant heart on her part. Is that what you're saying?
Honestly, I mentally, I don't think I could take her back. I mean, I at this point, no hope for reconciliation. I mean, she's, you know, some days really nice and then some days not so nice, but I just mm-hmm. wouldn't feel comfortable being back with her.
Okay. All right. I get that. Well, let's see what Sherry has to say. What are you thinking here, Sherry?
Oh, Purcell, I talk about this in one of my chapters. I say this is what happens when hanky-panky and hokey-pokey get combined, right? Because mm-hmm. She cheated. She had an affair, but she's also kind of like the game of hokey pokey. You put your right foot in, put your right foot out, put your right left foot in. No, she's wanting you to be in and out. She's okay with her affair. She wants you to be okay to stay connected. She wants the best parts of you, right? She wants you to stay connected to her, stay connected to her family, so that there is no loss to her grandkids. But she's not facing the pain of what she's done through infidelity and the pain that you've experienced in the betrayal. So I can understand why you're conflicted. And so what part of you has a difficult time drawing a line? Did you feel like you would be doing something, like you said, unbiblical? If you didn't...
Yeah, I mean, because I know God says you should seek reconciliation, but there honestly, there really is no chance of reconciliation. I just want to make sure that I'm not doing wrong by walking away from the situation.
Yeah, well, reconciliation is kind of a simple word, right? We kind of throw it out there a lot, but in the Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew...
Hello?
Are you there? Can you hear us? In the ancient Hebrew, the word reconciliation actually has a bunch of steps to it. It means to turn around, to repent. It's called the teshuvah. So it's recognizing what they did was wrong and revealing that, confessing that to the one that they hurt, and then regretting it wholeheartedly, having remorse over what they've done.
Right.
And then make every effort to not do it again and to work towards refraining and repairing the relationship. But I'm not hearing that. So she's not there.
Well, let me send healing as a choice to him, because I don't think you're obligated to be around someone who has been unfaithful to you, because it makes her happy to have you around. And, you know, the Bible is really clear. She was unfaithful. It's obviously she's not remorseful and repentant and wanting reconciliation. So no wonder you feel the way that you do. And so I do think you're entitled to say, no, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. Maybe at another time I'll be at a different place, but no, this isn't working.
Steve,
thank you very much.
Purcell, one possible opposing thought on this. My question is whether or not you had a strong role in the lives of her children and her grandchildren during your marriage. So I agree that protecting yourself from her ongoing...
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
So,
I love them as if they were my own.
Okay.
And
okay. So would you want to be around them without her? Would you want to be around them without her there?
Honestly, I don't know if that's a good idea. Everybody's kind of living different lives now. It's like I said, I don't want to sound judgmental, but as far as they're concerned, everybody kind of wants to drink and party, and it's just not part of my life anymore.
Purcell,
be around that kind of thing anymore.
Purcell, so I'm going to step in here.
I just don't think it's healthy to be around them.
Purcell, I wonder if some of those grandchildren need your sober, consistent influence. I could understand your heart being so hurt by her and the righteous anger you have wanting to stay away from the entire family, especially if many of them are engaged in the addictive behavior. But if there are little kids in that family to whom you have been a grandfather, you may be the only sober, believing influence in their lives. So I just want you to think about that. If they need you, even if you don't need them and you're not feeling it, you may need to work through the forgiveness process of your wife, which is totally different than reconciliation. But letting her off of your hook, putting her onto God's hook to soften your heart to the grandkids. So I'd ask you to take that to prayer and give God permission to work on your heart.
Maybe it's this, and Alice, great job of bringing this into to light. But maybe he needs to think about, well, here's a circumstance or a situation where I could still be part of their lives. You know, maybe, okay, I don't know their ages, but you drop them off at the bowling alley, I'll be there, we'll bowl, you pick them up in an hour, that kind of thing, where he doesn't have to be with her. I know it's tough, but Alice, great point here. Trying to not let the problems of the adults have to traumatize the kids any more than it's going to. Too bad she didn't think about those grandkids before, you know, doing what she did. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm telling you, if you need some help, you've been through some of this stuff, you can call us. We'll give you the best possible help that we've got. You can find out about it, 1-800-NEWLIFE. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Joe? Helena, Montana. Hi, Joe. How are you today?
Good, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing okay. What's going on in your life?
I am the oldest of four kids. I have one sister, two brothers. And, hold on. Anyway, sorry about that. So I'm the oldest of four kids, two brothers, one sister, and my dad and my mother and all of us kids are kind of on a farm ranch operation.
Yeah.
And lately, I've always had a lot of respect for my mom over my other siblings, and my dad and my sister and my older brother would kind of talk bad about her behind her back, let me know kind of how she would treat them, and I would always stand up for her and try to get them to see where she was coming from. Lately, though, ever since probably late summer, I've been losing a lot of respect for her, and I don't really respect her a whole lot anymore, and it's come to the point where none of us are really, we get along with her to her face. It's just that I'm not, my personality doesn't really make me want to treat a person nice to their face and then think awful things about them behind their back, and I kind of let her know that. I don't hide that.
Well, we've got to go to a break. We have to go to the break, so hang on here. We'll be back right after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
Said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Yep, we're back talking to Joe, and he's been supportive of his mom, but now, boy, really having a hard time here. So, Joe, what's the question for us with your mom, who you've lost respect for? You don't want to be negative behind her back. That's just who you are. But what's the big question here?
Well, I would like, and I'm wrong about this, that's why I'm sure I'm wrong on some points about this, that's why I called you guys for your advice. My thought is that all of us need to, and maybe there needs to be counseling involved, but at least all of us need to sit her down and kind of have a bit of an intervention. The problem with that, among others, is she's been suicidal in the past, and if we did that, I'm sure she would, if not kill herself, would say that she wanted to.
So there's been a lot of conflict between your dad and your mom, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And they're still married, correct?
Yep, they are.
So you know what's happened to you, and this is so unfair, but it just happens in families where moms and dads fight and they're disconnected. Is that mom will find one of her kids to kind of become a surrogate for her in a relational sort of way. A kid that would be willing, that's got a kind heart, but that would somehow be put into a position where he feels like he has to take care of her. It's a
burden.
Does that
ring true any at all, you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
100% on.
Yeah. And so, Joe, I love your heart, and I love your desire to be authentic, but I got to tell you something, my friend. It's a burden if your dad doesn't start stepping up to be the head, be the lead in the intervention and take more responsibility. It's kind of like, and I imagine there's been some conflict between you and your dad, because usually when a mom picks a son, there's this, you know, it's kind of like the son starts feeling a little outed. Or I don't even know if it's outed, but there's this tension that grows with the dads. And so you might even feel like he's not going to hear. Is that it? Yeah.
That has been the case. I had lost respect for him because mom told me all the things, all the ways that he's not a great person, and I'd take her side. Lately, I've realized that she treats dad. I thought, you know, her treating dad that way is one thing. They're married. Maybe that's the dynamic.
Right.
Now she started treating me and my brother and my sister, especially my little sister, has really gotten like verbally. I mean, she will holler at her for hours.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours at a time.
And can you see the burden that is on you? And so I'm thinking about you, and there's a book that's called, and I know it sounds like a funky title, but trust me, I think it would really help fill you in. It's called Silently Seduced, When Parents Make Children Their Partners. It's by Dr. Ken Adams. And a lot of young men get caught up in this triangle of feeling like they've got to take care of mom. But I got to tell you something. It's kind of a setup for life that you may end up becoming a caretaker for some other female instead of feeling your own identity develop separate from your mom. And at some point, again, your dad really is the one that needs to be more responsible to take it's his problem.
One of the horrible things here, I hate to even use this analogy, but when a mother knows that the father is molesting the daughter and lets it happen, this is similar.
It's emotional stuff.
It's emotional incest, and the father just let it happen.
Yep. They kind of allow it.
Yeah. Because he needed to step in there.
Exactly, because they don't have to have the conflict, right? Because there's somebody there to take care of this mom that's unstable.
Joe, if you went to your dad and you said, "Dad, I'm so afraid Mom might commit suicide, and I'm afraid for my little sister, for how she gets yelled at. We need to get help for Mom." Would you make the move, Dad? Here, I've got the New Life phone number. Would you call them and start getting help for our family? How do you imagine your dad would respond?
Actually, I just talked to him about that yesterday. I've never said really anything bad about Mom until I talked to Dad yesterday, finally. And we kind of talked it out, and I want to deal with this. I want to confront this, and I know that confronting her in any form will inevitably cause her, I hate to say playing the suicide card, but she will play it and probably, possibly, very, very possibly follow through on it if she feels like we are all abandoning her. And
let me jump in here. I don't know that the intervention needs to be with your mother. I think the intervention needs to be perhaps with your father, and he needs to be running this show, not you.
I like your thought, Steve.
Actually,
I'm telling you, you're still feeling responsible for her, and you're taking it. And you ought to say, look, Mr. Man, you got to deal with this. Now is the time. You have to do this. I'm not going to do it.
So, Joe, when you brought that up to him, did your dad say, yes, let's get help, we need help?
Well, he's, I guess with his personality, he wouldn't do that. He said, Joel, I guess right now, if you kids want to do that, you can do that, but I don't want a divorce. And if I am seen as talking to you guys behind Mom's back, it will get a divorce, and she might commit suicide.
So Joel,
I cannot be seen as her enemy.
Okay, well, I want to offer you two thoughts then. One is, if your family is a church-going family, reaching out to the pastor to get another authority figure to take this burden and responsibility off you, a pastor to talk with your dad, that might be an option. The other one is, if you get a therapist involved in the family, a therapist can be the one to help take responsibility for guiding your mom and treating your mom with the suicidal ideation, because that's not your burden to bear either. But of course you love your mom and you care for her. Yeah. So I'd suggest think about speaking to the pastor.
Yeah. Well, the main thing is your dad needs to step up, and I feel your burden. I know it's hard to step back as you've been brought into this thing. I hope something that we've said here could be valuable to you. And I think Sherry's recommended a great, great book. I'm going to send you let me just send you Take Your Life Back. I think that's going to help you with this. It's such a great manual on how do we no longer be owned by anybody. And we'll pray for your situation. You know, we've been doing this for 30 years, and it's always a struggle, you know, when we hear somebody trying to get somebody else to do something versus when somebody calls and says, here's my problem, what do I do to get better? So often it's, well, here's somebody else's problem, how do I help them get better? Maybe you've got something that you're dealing with and you've never dealt with it. And somebody might call us and say, how do I get this person to do something? Don't wait for somebody to be trying to get help or advice because you've got a problem. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And, you know, it doesn't go on your record. You can be anonymous. And we can recommend books. We can recommend clinicians, workshops, so many videos. There's so many options that we have. But first, you have to pick up that phone and call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It is the end of the month, and this is the time that I have to ask you to please help us with a one-time gift here and help us finish this month of February, uh, and And, you know, everything we do, it's to try to stay on the air, try to continue to have the workshops and help people transform their lives. And we do it with as little overhead as possible. And our commitment to you is integrity in how we spend every cent. Call us 1-800 if you can help us or if you need some help. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Alice.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.